Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's GHIRELLI.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. I'll begin. So how long does it take to break your New Year's resolution? Sometimes it's just a little bit of time. So partway through the year, I broke one of them today.
You were late.
I was late.
You texted me to say, I'm going to be 5 minutes late, and 5 minutes turn into 15 minutes. So I'm worried.
I'm wondering if I was honest about that estimation. Should I be going to confession about that?
I think you should.
Or did I really think I'd be here 5 minutes late?
What do you? How would you answer to that?
I actually thought it was just going to be five, and I ended up behind a lot of slow cars.
So where are we this week?
So we're looking at the fifth Sunday of Lent. So this is the, is it the last Sunday of Lent? So next week is Palm Sunday.
It's one of these questions that we always have. What's the last and what's the first?
Right.
I would say that Palm Sunday is at the same time the last Sunday of Lent and the beginning of Holy Week.
Nevertheless, whatever the technical understanding might be, this would be the last maybe traditional Sunday in Lent with Gospels that have connected to the rest of Lent.
Sure.
So after this, we really focus toward Holy Week. So it's the fifth Sunday of Lent. Where am I going to read from?
A reminder that you may hear a different gospel if you have catechumens at your parish or if they decide to go with Cycle A. This podcast, we are reading the readings from Year C. We are reading John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11.
Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore."
Well, what do you think?
I would like to point at the very first thing is that the Pharisees and the scribes are testing Jesus. Like so many other times, it says they really don't care about what Jesus has to say. They want to test him. We are reading this when we are about to begin the celebration of Holy Week, but this is early in the Gospel of John. It's chapter 8, as we just said. It's a test. They really don't care what Jesus has to say about adultery. And then obviously what we see here is Jesus being very knowledgeable and acute about human nature, to know that who are we to throw stones? Who are we to judge others and condemn others when we have committed the sin ourselves? And lastly, I would reflect about a law. Yes, it's the law of Moses, but a law that, so where is the man? She had to commit adultery with someone. Where is the guy? And that's a very interesting question as well.
One of the beautiful realities of a relationship with sacred scriptures is always something new. So mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, the story is very familiar. We hear it through the year, often almost always in the Lenten season in one place or another. But something that really struck me this time is it's not only that they're testing Jesus, but they're using this, they're exploiting this woman to trap Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it's even worse. It's not like they're just questioning Jesus in some way. They're taking a third party, this woman here, who's got her own issues, and exploiting her. And I just think about just that reality of exploitation, and it's got me thinking about just the problem of how we exploit people in this world today. Mm-hmm. I think it's an awful, awful problem at all ages and at all stages right now and all around the world. We exploit human life for our own interests. Mm-hmm. For, it could be as simple as marketing,
yeah,
or for other purposes as well, for our own pleasure. But that's what the scribes and Pharisees are doing here, and it makes me even more upset, you know?
Yeah, and what is at stake is the life of the woman. She will be stoned unless Jesus stops it when it starts like kind of an academic question. So how many times we see people, because we call ourselves liberal or more conservative, and then because of ideologies, we let things happen. I'm thinking about many social issues that are of great concern, and we transform them into academic discussions when people's lives are at stake. I think that's what you're saying.
Very much so. And look how Jesus rescues someone from exploitation. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful spiritual reflection. Yeah. Jesus and his power to liberate and his power to free someone from exploitation. Question, scripture question here. What's Jesus writing on the ground? What's going on there?
So is it a reference to the law of Moses that was written in stones and Jesus is writing in sand so it can be easily removed? I think what Jesus is trying to say, yes, this is the law and no one here is calling for anarchy, but the life of a person is much more important than anything written in a stone, which was a reference to the law of Moses. I think Jesus would say, laws are there and we need them, I'm sure. We need norms, we need to behave socially. But at what point we put laws, again, what we were saying before, the fulfillment of a law cannot be more important than saving the life of that person.
There's a thought that I only came to this or heard this only a few years ago, but it's a reference to a passage in Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah, I think, chapter 17, where those who have turned away from the Lord shall be written in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a theory that that's what's happening
that
here.
Could that be.
Then perhaps what Jesus is doing is he's writing down perhaps the names of the scribes and Pharisees
on
the ground.
Mm.
I've heard that thought as well. But then what's he doing the second time? Is he writing down their sins or none of the above? And so I think the connection to Jeremiah is there. But that Jesus is writing something in reference to those individuals there, I've only heard this kind of a guess in a sense. I don't know what that would mean.
Yeah, and some people would say, is that important? Well, anything that is in the scripture is important, especially when you look at how difficult it was, the writing enterprise. So that you wouldn't, it's not like now that you can write in a piece of paper easily and you can write whatever you want. So there has to be a meaning for that and articles and books about what was Jesus writing in the sand. Whatever it was, as preachers, we have to use it to make a point. So trying to be faithful to what the scripture said, not trying to stretch it too much. So any explanation is good. I would say that any connection with the Old Testament, it's a good thing because that's normally what we miss, these connections with the Old Testament. Also, I'm thinking now about this expression that a line has been drawn on the sand. How do you say it in English?
Just like that.
It yeah. comes from here. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jesus is saying, you Pharisees, your cruelty stops here. You know what I mean? You are not going to kill this woman.
That's a very...
That could be also...
I think that's a very beautiful and a very yeah. interesting direction.
How do you say it in English? A line has been drawn...
A line has been drawn on the sand, or yeah. I'm drawing a line in the sand.
And
here.
This is it. Yeah. The buck stops here.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, mercy, of course, is the theme here. You know, I've just come to realize, you know, mercy is not deserved. I think that's really interesting to think of that. Mercy is not deserved. So the mercy that she's shown here, it's not a question of kind of going through an academic exercise as to who gets mercy and not. Mercy is not deserved. And it's also, you know, mercy is because of a legitimate wrong of some sort. And always that last, really last part of the gospel is so very important. Go and sin no more.
Yeah.
The wrong has been committed.
Yeah.
But now you have this fresh start because of the mercy and the love of Jesus.
Jesus says, sin no more, which is what we all need to hear. Jesus doesn't say, oh, it was fine to commit adultery. Jesus says, sin no more. Woman, sin no more. It's interesting also that it says elder. It says that the elders left first. It doesn't say the older, but elder means... Mm-hmm. It could be a problem with the translation also. But isn't it true that the older we are, the more we realize that we are all sinners, that we've had more chances to experience what Jesus is trying to say in this gospel?
I think that's a really interesting thought. You are hitting a home run here on a number of points, at least in my mind. I'm thinking of these things for preaching. Yeah.
Choose one and go with it.
I'll let you know.
How do we take this gospel into the context of Lent? I think we've been reflecting about sin during Lent. We have to believe the sin no more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very easy, and it would be another exercise of self-reference to just stay in the mud of M-U-D of
mud.
Sin.
Yeah.
And Jesus is calling us to sin no more. To now, okay, everybody has left. Nobody's judging you. Your life is not at stake. Now move on.
Mm-hmm.
How many times it's difficult for people to move on?
Right. I know that you probably experienced this as we celebrate perhaps reconciliation or counseling. In the eyes of the church, when you're absolved of particular sins, you move on. The last lines of the sacrament are the best. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
The church says, move on. But it's our kind of organic and psychological issues sometimes that hang on to those very significant things, perhaps. But not in the eyes of God. God says, start fresh, go live your life, start over. And I think that's so beautiful about the sacrament and just the mercy that's expressed through the church, especially sacramentally.
I think this could be a great Sunday to conclude Lent and to start preparing for Holy Week.
I think it's a good way to do so. So if you're looking for Mass this weekend, archmill.org. That's the website for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, archmill.org. A lot of great information there. You can find Mass times. There's an envelope icon where you can click and can receive not only this by email every Wednesday, but also other great information from the Archdiocese.
And as we always say as well, if you know of anybody who could benefit from listening to us, just let them know we exist. So I'll see you next Wednesday then.
All right. See you next Wednesday.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.